call the Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. And I want to call the Port Commission and the Port of Houston Authority to order. So we'll start our meeting. I know we have plenty of people online, so and lots of people in the room. So appreciate everybody being here. Welcome to fall weather. Wasn't it great this morning?
Yeah. I mean,
it's very, very welcome, and we need it after our hot summer. I just want to start out quickly and talk about some highlights. So welcome back from the summer, everyone. I know we've been working hard and long with lots of projects going on. I just wanted to update everyone on what's going on with Project 11, fastest and largest project in America of its kind. Fastest because of the investment the port has made early on by making sure the project was shovel ready. I want to make sure everybody remembers that. The commission approved nearly $40 million of funds before the project was approved. Like building your house, getting it designed and ready for shovel ready. And the reason we are one of the fastest projects ever is because of that. Since October of last year, we have issued $545 million of dredging contracts, just to remind everyone. We're 82% funded, and the reason we're 82% funded is $669 million has been committed by the Port Authority and $189 million from the federal government that has been committed. We need 18% more, right? It's another nearly $200 million. We need to make sure that whenever we have the opportunity or anybody in the room has an opportunity to make sure that our congressional delegations and our local delegations understand that we need the additional dollars to complete the project and make sure that it is the fastest project that we've ever done and that's ever been done in America port-wise. When we get that additional federal funds, the Port Authority will have flipped from normally a 65% contribution by the federal government and a 35% by the non-federal sponsor. We will end with 72% from the port and the balance from the federal government. A big flip, and the reason we did that obviously is to expand the channel on a rational, fast track basis so we can make sure that everyone in the port community, the 200 plus terminals, all get the more efficient, the safer, and the just better channel with this expansion. We are, as you all know, Port Commission and the community, the energy folks and our partners in the channel have proposed ultimately a fee that will be charged, and we will, once we get to the end of the project, we will continue that discussion and that debate. But at this point, we just need that additional funds, and we need to finish the project, and then we can have a discussion about how we get perhaps some of our funds back from that. That is part of the funding strategy, and that's a debate for a later date. Some really good news that happened in the last since the last meeting is we received a $2.5 million Diesel Emission Reduction Act grant, or a DERA, to fund the reduction of emissions through the replacement of older diesel engines. This item's on our agenda later. I just want to highlight it's just another measure of Port Houston partnering with industry for cleaner air. The agreement is with Bay Houston Towing, Studerman and Young Towing, and GH Towing to repower two tugs with Tier 4 engines. Each tug has 2,150 horsepower Tier 0 engines, and these engines will be replaced with Tier 4 engines. The repower with Tier 4 engines will reduce NOx emissions by 202 tons per year and reduce PM2.5 by 2.31 tons per year. Each vessel operates around 3,000 hours a year. And we're really proud to engage in this effort with our industry partners, and we'll continue to support our local companies reducing their carbon footprint. The last thing I just want to talk about is the port picnic at the Houston Zoo. What a great day. Wish we would have this weather. But even though it was hot, we had nearly 1,000 employees, retirees, and their families out at the zoo. It was a lot of fun. It was great to reconnect again. This is probably the most rescheduled event that we've had at the port. We tried to have it in 2020, and we haven't gotten together since 2019. So it was really great to see everybody there and to be able to have bring families to the zoo. I asked a lot of the kids or what their favorite animal was, just a good way to kind of break the ice with little kids. And the reptiles were number one, and I think because you could go inside the cool area to see the reptiles. But and elephants were a close second, but they were that was definitely a more hot.
Only time I've ever enjoyed being around snakes.
That's right. So the picnic team who put that together did a great job. Thank you for all your hard work, and it was a big job to pull together for 1,000 people, obviously, and it was a lot of fun. I just want to. I know we're going to talk about lots of things on our agenda about where our business is and how busy we've been this summer. I just want to thank everybody at the port, all our Port Houston team, the ILA folks, our pilots, our seafarers, everyone who works in and around the port has done a great job with amazing cargo levels and amazing work that had to be done to make sure we're moving cargo and moving the channel forward. It's just an amazing time for us, and I'm very excited and proud to be part of this port team doing a great job for our region. So with that, those are my comments. Commissioners, I know that Commissioner Corgi wants to say a couple words, so I'm going to recognize you.
Thank you, Chairman. We're loading a container. It'll be we'll start doing it this afternoon at Union Hall at 625 North York. It's going to be relief supplies for Puerto Rico, the Hurricane Fiona. And what we're mainly asking anybody that's interested, if you want to contribute some bottled water, that's what they really need down there. So if you want to drop a case of bottled water off at the Union Hall, we would really appreciate it. And we're going to put that container, we'll go on the National Glory. It'll be leaving for Puerto Rico next month. And it's just a small thing that we could do to help our folks down there. Thank you.
Any other commissioners' comments?
Yep.
Everybody's good? Okay. Let's go ahead to item C1, which is the approval of minutes from our August 2nd, 2022 meeting.
So moved.
Second. Any questions, comments? Okay, hearing none. The motion passes. Let's see. Staff reports. Roger.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Chairman, long agenda, short discussion here. Just want to kind of reiterate, we're still heading in the same direction operationally. FTEs up 17% year to date. We're a lot of many of the ports around the country are reporting softening volumes. We really haven't seen that yet. In fact, our volume continues to grow. August was, we set an all-time high for import loads, up over 14% over a year before the previous August of last year. And the loaded export volume was the third highest in the last 3 years. So it was the best month overall in the port's history and continues to grow. And as Rick said, we got a lot of people working hard to make sure that we're just trying to maintain that fluidity of cargo moving through our terminals and so we can capture that volume. General cargo is up 73% and still see ships occupying all the docks out there, driving a lot of cargo, a lot of steel imports, a lot of jobs, a lot of activity going on, steel, cement, some aluminum, and some other things that we're handling across our docks right now, so still very, very strong. I just want to point out today that in total on the agenda, their recommendations for total contracts more than $146 million for recommendation of award today. So it's a big agenda. Not only is it long, it is a number of big ticket items that are very important to this, one being to support the infrastructure to accelerate our capacity. We've got a $60 million plus a recommendation to award for container yard at Bayport and Terminal 1. We've expedited that and sorely needed, as well as a recommendation to award a new maintenance building at Barber's Cut, and that's twofold. I mean, it's long overdue. That old maintenance building that was here when I got here a long time ago. It was beyond functional, and our maintenance employees, not only do our maintenance employees deserve a better place to work at Barber's Cut, also we need the space. We're moving that there to capture more capacity at our terminal as well. So that's on the agenda today, as well as some maintenance dredging activities to allow us to not be draft restricted. We're having some issues at our docks at some of our container terminals. So that's on the agenda as well. So accommodating the business, making those capital improvements and accelerating the investments to capture the growth. And I appreciate the mention of Puerto Rico. I had that opportunity for our employees and our organization as well. I'm just thinking ahead of today, you know, thinking about the one that's bearing down on Tampa, right? Yeah. So we need to be thinking about those opportunities in advance maybe to assist there. And
we've already got some plans in place.
So, no, and I appreciate that. So our sister ports around the country are always there to help us, and, you know, we're certainly we'll be engaged on that as well. So thank you for bringing that up. That's all I have.
Okay. Great. So I just want to put in perspective the $146 million that we have on our agenda today. So prior to the $146 million, we have $1.1 billion worth of land side and investments that we're doing right now. So we're going to add $146 million to that $1.1 billion. Huge investments both in the channel and on the land side. So I just want to point out that we are very, very blessed and fortunate to have the capital to do all these things, because investing in infrastructure is a huge issue. And when you think about just American infrastructure generally, we're woefully behind. And that's why when you think about supply chain issues, it's all about infrastructure from the beginning of the port all the way to the consumer. And we're doing our part by investing in this infrastructure. So a really amazing opportunity and ability for us to do that. Any other questions or comments, Commissioners, for Roger?
I'm good.
Okay, great. All right, let's move on then to appearances. We have Adrian Shelley on behalf of the Public Citizen and Healthy Port Communities Coalition. I see you, Adrian. You want to unmute, and there we go. You're good to go.
Morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Great, thanks. Adrian Shelley with Public Citizen and the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. Happy to be here as always. Appreciate the opportunity to deliver some quick comments. And just for the record, my favorite animal is the Texas horned lizard. So another reptile.
Mine too. I love the reptile.
So just a couple of things today, looking forward to budgeting, which is coming, you know, later this year. We have suggested in the past that, you know, a great component of implementing the Clean Air Strategy Plan and just generally working with the public toward pollution reductions, public health benefits, community benefits in general, that a great way to do that is transparency in budgeting, right? And I think we were told during the last budget cycle, well, you know, implementation of the Clean Air Strategy Plan is dispersed throughout the budget, right? So it's in there, even though we can't point to a line item here or here. And we understand that, but we're suggesting that, you know, there's been a lot of good work that's been done lately, and there's been quantifiable emissions reductions, right? There's the you know, the all-electric wharf cranes, the hybrid RTGs, there's some good stuff going on. We just heard about the tugs from the new DERA grant. So, you know, I think it would go a long way if there were quantification of these kinds of activities and you know, in the budget as well. And I think that it would provide a good opportunity for you know, the other process that we've recommended of kind of regular revisits to the Clean Air Strategy Plan, a normal maybe 3-year schedule of goods movement emissions inventories, and you know, budgeting there, right? So looking at the plan, updating the emissions inventory, you know, benchmarking progress against the plan, setting new targets. So, you know, a different sort of transparency in budgeting. So that's what we're suggesting. You know, I've been, you know, publicly congratulatory of the port lately for, you know, quantifiable emissions reductions. And so I want to thank y'all for that. And yeah, and just suggest that the budgeting process is another opportunity to continue to demonstrate commitment through transparency. And then a related note is just the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, there are so many opportunities here, you know, billions in funding for all sorts of things, you know, electrification, shore power, you know, grids, DERA, again, you know, all sorts of things. We think it would be great if there was a sort of a unified approach, you know, proposal to approach the IRA, and again, some transparency. So, you know, some kind of a plan that addresses each of the opportunities, what the port's intention is, maybe an opportunity to get, you know, feedback from participants, impacted folks, you know, maybe a bit of a public process looking at the port's approach to IRA opportunities. So just another opportunity for transparency in spending and, you know, showing commitment through through transparency. So that's all. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it, as always.
Great, thanks. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Okay, thanks a lot for your support and time, and we will definitely consider some of those items in our budget process. Thanks. Let's go ahead. I think we're done with appearances, Eric, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, great. There are no items under executive, so let's move, and business equity also, so let's move to commercial. And let's go ahead, and John, you're going to take us through that, correct? So I'm going to see. There you go.
Good morning. Morning.
Good
morning.
Morning. I have 12 commercial items in front of me today. I wanted to first just emphasize a couple things that are going on in commercial on behalf of the port. One of the most important lessons I've learned in nearly 30 years of marriage is communication, the importance of communication, and I think we've embraced that here at the port, the importance of proactive two-way communication with all our stakeholders, with our community, with all the industry and everything. And you've probably seen billboards, you've maybe heard some radio ads, things like that. Those are all things built around supporting the boots on the ground in our community. Affairs Department, Maria, and her group do a fantastic job. The entire port is out there doing public engagements and doing community-related things, and the advertising component of it is also an important part of that to create greater awareness about all the great things we do here at the port. So we're very engaged in that. And with that, I'll transition over to the 12 items we have. One of them is a marketing advertising related related request, H1, an extension of a contract with Love Advertising. And then the other 11 items that you have in front of you are essentially real estate transactions. The two I wanted to showcase to you are H2 and H3, which are basically about 12 acres of property that are essentially undeveloped. We have one of our speed lords and partners here on the docks who stepped up and is putting some skin in the game, and we're abating a large portion of that over a six-year period of time. But it's really land that's being used to support our business operations along the dock. The remainder of the SDAs are essentially month-to-month ratifications, a couple of conversions from month to month to long term, and lastly, like I said, a couple of extensions. We have three of them that are extensions, two of them which are development projects. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but I'd like to request approval for items H1 through H12.
Okay, is there a motion?
So moved.
Yep. Any questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Kappas, thank you, John. Appreciate it. And we're up next is our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. We have a number of finance items on the agenda this morning, seeking your authorization. I'll touch base very briefly on each of those. Of course, please don't hesitate to interrupt me as I go through. I-1 was reviewed with and recommended for your approval by the Audit Committee in August, and I can affirm each of the items called out there as charters and policies represent largely housekeeping updates such as terminology and other administrative efforts. Items I-2 through I-6 were reviewed in a very productive pension committee meeting last week and again received their recommendation for approval by this body. Briefly, item I-2 represents a continuation of our careful downward adjustment of the discount factor from 65% to 6%. This is the factor we use to project investment returns on both pension and OPEB trust assets, as well as discounting liabilities. Both our actuary, Millman, and our retirement plan investment advisors, ANCO, support this recommendation as well. Items 3 and 4 are both related there, as we've had a particular investment manager on alert for the past 2 years, given performance relative to their peers. And item 3, we are terminating the agreement associated with Smith Graham and Company Investment Advisors. And then item 4 appoints a replacement investment manager with a stronger historical performance in terms of returns, as well as a lower risk profile than the former. That's items 3 and 4. 5 and 6 result from an extensive study performed by our investment advisors and co to adjust the asset allocation within both pension and OPEB investments to increase the equity target and min-max threshold by 5 percentage points, offset by reduction in fixed income threshold by that same 5 percentage points. In short, modeling and many simulations support this move at a higher level of likelihood for achieving the returns closer to our target rate of 6% that we're proposing. There are a handful of other administrative cleanup items in both policies as well. And then lastly, item I-7 simply reflects the annual review of the combined defined contribution and deferred compensation policies for this year. Those have been included in materials, and I can affirm there are no changes in those documents this year from last year. We just need to refresh that with this body. Those are our 7. I'm happy to answer any questions if there are.
Chair Muzzle, move.
Second.
Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
Thank you.
Infrastructure, Mr. Burns. Rich, you're there, right?
I'm sorry. I just forgot to mention one thing. Houston International Maritime Conference is on Monday, the 24th of October. It's the first inaugural event of its kind. It's bringing everyone together to shine a spotlight on Houston's maritime sector. I encourage you all to attend. Thank you very much. Monday, October 24th.
Where will that be?
It will be at the Four Seasons Hotel in downtown Houston.
Yeah, we'll send out notices.
We'll make sure you get
that would be good.
Yeah.
That's your only hope.
Multiple notices. Okay, Rich, you're up. Thanks.
Hi, good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. We have a big month, and you and Roger have stolen my thunder talking about some of the biggest items. But there are 27 items on the agenda worth about $133 million. Items 5 and 6 are $108 million of that.
So, Rich, if we cut out this part, we would save a lot of money, I think. We would just skip your
section.
As
Chairman says, the future is in infrastructure.
So, you've got to spend money to make money.
Exactly. So the 39 acres of the new yard and the maintenance building are going to be critical to our continued growth. I will mention a couple of other items. Item 11 is in line with the public comment we just heard about pursuing opportunities through the Inflation Reduction Act, as well as the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. We are making grant applications for every dollar that's out there, and item 11 is asking for assistance to do those grant applications. As you may know, when the notice of funding opportunity comes out, we have basically 30 to 60 days to respond, so we have to put business cases together very quickly. Item 12 is also a consulting contract to assist the port in looking into the future in terms of we're building infrastructure now, but we're going to have to build infrastructure further into the future. Where is it going to be? How is it going to be configured? So we're really accelerating that process as well. And then You mentioned the other one I had up. Item 21 is the $2.5 million Bureau grant, which is a very long process, but it's coming to fruition now. And then item 25, just a note, is a center point. So with that, I'll take questions or your request your approval for 27 items.
I just want to two quick comments on J5. I just want to note, I applaud these companies because in looking at all the backup materials, I applaud them for paying attention for including small businesses, minority enterprises, and women business enterprises. So I just want to note that. And then on J6, the Harvey Builders, I just want to, I just hope that, you know, in looking at this one in comparison to the one for 60-something, I just hope we can do better next time on, I know it wasn't required, but just trying to do a better job of being inclusive of women business enterprises and minority business enterprises on that one. And then I recuse myself on J25 or
something. Is there a motion?
So moved.
And we are excluding Commissioner Clinton on number 25. Mm-hmm. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Rich. Okay, next up, we have Operations Jeff Davis. Jeff, thank you.
Great report, Rich, and I think it's important to point out that last piece of yard that we're talking about is the original master plan yard at Bayport. After that, it's all done. The next piece of the Bayport involves cruise terminal being converted, so 15 years later, here we are finishing the yard at Bayport. We'll have some docks to go, but those are significant steps and we're full. As Roger did a fabulous job of reporting our volume this month, the container terminal is doing well, and certainly the general cargo as well. Also, leaning back to John's comment, he's talking about leasing 100% of the land, or maybe 99%, I won't go that far, but it's pretty close to everything in the Kern Basin. The entire 400 acres is leased to various users here. So Kern Basin and the general cargo facilities and container facilities are absolutely operating at near capacity. We continue looking at that ship queue that we have waiting to get to our container facilities. Every day, we have about 25 to 30 ships working between here and container facilities. And last month, the queue got is for the container facilities got as big as it can get, as it's gotten so far. I think we peaked out at 30 ships for a one-day period. We've been over 25 all month long. Last month, it has lightened up a little bit as of this week. So we don't know if it's just a temporary fluctuation or if it's a trend, but we were under 20 yesterday and today at 18 and 19 ships. But that's where all eyes and operations are focused, trying to work that queue down and trying to keep service levels up. The general cargo facilities also have a few ships out there as well, and those continue to be steady. They're in the ones, twos, and threes, but there's demand for these berths here as you look out this window every day. For activity, I'll repeat my line that I sound like a broken record reporting broken records, but we do that some more this month. As Roger reported, the volumes were the highest in our history. We had a new high gate transaction day set on September the 8th. It was broken 7 days later, then it was broken 6 days later. We're just shy of 15,000 transactions and right at 14,700 transactions is the current record. And we had numerous days in that vicinity, which is really unusual for us. At the end of the month, we've been averaging every month is right at 63,000 transactions, and we did 69,000 transactions last year. So that was a huge uptick. There's a lot of staff working really hard, both ILA, our logistics coordinators, our maintenance staff to keep the equipment going. These doing almost 70,000 a week is not happening happenstance. It's a concerted effort by a lot of folks to make that work.
Jeff, how's the Saturday gate working?
We're not real pleased with that. Our goal is to do about a half of a normal day on a Saturday, and I just mentioned we've been doing a lot of 14,000 days. We'd love to see 7,000 transactions, spread that week out some on a Saturday, but I think that the high we've had so far is no doubt it was 3,200, but every, and that was right, around Labor Day. I think that no work day that we had that week drove us actually doing more than that. The rest of them have looked like just 2,300, 2,400. It's really disappointing considering the opportunity and the challenges that we face Monday through Friday trying to provide good turn times and good service levels. And we're willing to spend the money to spread it out. We just haven't gotten there yet, but we're not giving up. We're going to make this thing work. We're going to continue to press the industry and do this kind of thing.
Commissioner Cruz, I want to make a comment.
Chairman, I asked the same question. And I wish that we could put our heads together to figure out how we could improve that Saturday gate, especially with the queue that we have, and in order to improve our service level.
Do we give any kind of incentive for people to come in on Saturday, like lower costs?
Some of the things we've been considering. Our boss gets really mad about this, and he's thinking about closing on Wednesdays. That'll force them to.
I think the challenge here is the culture.
That's extreme. I don't think we've reached that.
Saturdays are great fishing days, softball games, baseball games, soccer games, family events, and that's the challenge, I think, fundamentally. It is a cultural issue, and it'll actually make it a big incentive, and people can see it's a major shift in it cost me this versus that, then
we're
still going to have those
challenges with our own staff working Saturday.
I understand.
6 days a week, like business as usual, it's difficult. And that's,
yeah.
So I think we have to be patient. And if the service levels don't push folks to Saturday, then incentives are going to be, we've started evaluating that, but we haven't brought that up yet because it's still in its infancy, so to speak. We've got a few months now. Very good question.
Tim, have you had the opportunity to visit with the heads of some of these companies to see if there's any chance of changing the work lead from like Monday to Friday and then back to Tuesday to Saturday, rotating to where they're not off every Friday, but I mean Saturday, but every other one. And until the industry decides to do something like that, I don't know how successful we'll ever be on Saturday. But something major has to happen, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't go up the line and see if there's any chance that we could change the work schedule from 1 week Monday to Friday the next week, rotating it. The guy works from Tuesday to Saturday. Same 5 days, except we throw in that soccer day. So I think we have to go up here to get it to go down here. That's my opinion.
Roger was in Chicago with Walmart this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we're going up the line with those entities that originally requested this. I mean, this was done without naming names, major exporters of resin at their request, importers of
I'm with Nixon.
with DC, you know, this was done at their request. Our commercial team, our ops team, is doing everything to. We can't make them come, but you know, you have to put this in place. I think it's a culture shift.
It's a tough, and I think the companies could change their work.
And you can rest assured.
To work one Monday, through Friday, the next week you're working Tuesday through Saturday, rotating.
Or just work every day.
Huh?
Or just work every day.
Yeah.
You know, that would be.
Well, I think it'd be good, but we are evidently not getting that done. So I'm just just a suggestion.
No, we are, you know, certainly talking with them, encouraging them. You know, we've taken a bunch of different measures. You know, and there's more that we're considering to, you know, to incentivize or to, let's just say, encourage financially for those people to do that. So.
Yeah. Because we're batting a pretty good bullet to take on Saturday.
Yeah. So, but again, you know, I've said all along, we're not immune to the challenges, but, you know, at the end of the day, we've got ships waiting out because this still is just a better option. You know, other ports are experiencing the same thing, and by choice, people keep sending their cargo through Houston, and, you know, just because. You know, it's still a good choice for them to come to the Gulf and distribute their cargo or receive their cargo. All the cargo is produced here, right? The plastic resins, We handle 70% of the nation's export resin cargo, so that's naturally going to continue to flow through here.
I'm just wondering if it's a messaging issue to the consumer. I mean, it's got to increase the cost, you know, for, you know, supply side and all the inflationary issues that are going on. I just wonder if there's any messaging that we need to.
There's messaging that I'd like to add. We hadn't brought this in front of the commission, but we're promoting externally the opportunity to consider, encouraging. We don't want to be a storage facility. We want to be a throughput facility to encourage entities to move their cargo out more quickly, which could put it on, you know, a Saturday Yates, for instance, by looking at the fees that were on top of what we're already charging and not being the lowest, you know, the cheapest solution for store in a box. So there are certain things that we can do that we're looking at doing. We've been very public with our customers already, and that's something that's under consideration that you may hear something about in October. So, again, we don't want to charge fees to make more stores. We want to encourage the cargo to move.
What are we charging now after? Isn't it 7 days free, and then we start charging?
On imports, it's 7 days free time, something like $70 a day. You know, after that, which in years past, when we had 3.5-4 days of average dwell time, companies would fight tooth and nail not to pay that $70 for one extra day. But now that's flipped, and now that is most likely the reason why they're leaving there. That's the cheaper solution.
Yeah.
So we've got to change the narrative on that.
$200 a day after that.
Well, we're looking to change the narrative on that and look at the opportunities. Again, we don't want to encourage storage and make more money. We want boxes to move through.
Well, I agree, but maybe they'll move if they charge enough.
So that's the reason for looking and making
encourage them.
Consideration mm-hmm. for these types of excess dwell.
At the end of the day, though, all this has to pass to the consumer. And that's what I'm saying. The narrative has got to change so that there's broader understanding of this.
Yeah, I think the challenge with the consumer issue is that if you look at the total consumer product and what the shipping and, you know, the cost of that is, it's really relatively small. And so it's not a major move. You're not going to cut prices 10% by moving stuff off our yards quicker. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the challenges. It's not a major consumer issue because that's not where the cost is. The cost is, that's a small amount of the cost. I think the challenge we have fundamentally is that we have an incredibly tight workforce today, right? I mean, we have very low unemployment, and people have, their options are, I don't have to work on Saturday if I don't want to, right? And that's the fundamental issue, and oftentimes it costs more overtime and things like that. So it's more of a fundamental social issue more than it is a what can we do to tweak it to get people to come. I mean, I'll give you an example. In our business, my turnover rates are much higher than they normally are, and it's not because they don't like working for us. But we've had week closed Sundays, which is a big day for us, primarily to recruit more people and to give people the Sunday off. And so it's a complicated issue, and I know our teams are focused on it, and we just need to keep tweaking and working it to try to improve it. But, you know, 3,200 is not where we want to be, but it's 3,200 that's not coming in on Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Mr. Chairman, and I know everyone's heard this before, but as bad as it sounds, I don't know of a port on the East or Gulf Coast that's in the business like we are that wouldn't take our situation to
absolutely
versus theirs.
Right.
We're so much better off than they are, even with these bad times that it looks like we're not doing our jobs, but
you're right.
They would take it.
No question. Any other? Go ahead.
I had one other item I wanted to highlight. It's along the same line, but it's just kind of staggering when I think about this. At the beginning of 2021, our warp crane hours were averaging, for the first 2 months of 2021, we're averaging about 1,000 hours a week. 80% growth. Now, there's that growth is done like that, mm-hmm. and it may do this. You know, it may come down. It may level off. It may continue to grow. But hey, that has not come without challenges to the war cranes. And Paulo and his two staff, the staff at both Barks Cut and Paperboard, have done a phenomenal job of holding those cranes together and keeping them operational. It's not perfect. They're not always 100% available all the time. Taking creative measures to PM them and do things like that with the uptick. The labor, the same way, that to be able to grow those labor hours from 1,000 to 1,800 per week, that's along those four crane hours. That's a phenomenal growth. It hasn't come without challenges. We still have some labor shortages that we're dealing with, but kudos to the ILA for keeping up at the pace that we kept up with, and certainly to the maintenance staff for keeping up with those wolf cranes. It's been a huge challenge, but it really came to light when I kind of started thinking about that recently and we started discussing it. But anyway, I'll move on to the agenda. I'd like to, you'll see 14 items for OPS. We'll start with K2, that's the scaffolding agreement. And the reason I highlight this, it highlights the work that our maintenance does. At 15 stories above the ground, this scaffolding is required to do a lot of repairs, and it's some of the challenges we've been facing have been in that area where this scaffolding is required. K8, I thought it was important to point out a more two-year job order contract to this company to do marine facilities repairs, and this is a result of our PCAP program. How long ago did PCAP start? I'm sorry, anybody? Roger, how long ago did PCAP? About 4 years ago. Facility inspection, condition assessment program. We got a lot of marine structures that have been here for many years. And so our maintenance staff does a lot of the repairs that the inspection process brings out, the condition assessment brings out. And this is just a supplement to our maintenance staff. So we outsource some of them, we do some of it internally, but it's important to point out that this highlights the PCAP program moving forward, because we do have, every day that goes by, our facilities continue to age and we need to inspect them and keep them up. Also wanted to highlight K-12 and K-14, leases with CNC and PNC. These are two companies that we've done kind of public-private partnership at Bayport. When you look at Bayport or Fort Road, and if you look to the south towards Seabrook, we've kind of allocated 170 acres there to do some things with our ocean carrier partners and the people that operate there. And this represents two of those leases, which they're doing ancillary things, storing empties, doing maintenance to chassis, doing maintenance and repair to containers and those kind of things. But it's a thing that really attracts, these types of things attract business to our port when our ocean carriers know that they can get everything done to their containers and chassis pool, and they can do some storage of empties and those kind of things. But we've got these two leases. We plan to bring two more next month. That'll bring that total to around 100 acres. And it really has changed the landscape. When you drive down Fort Road, now on the south side of Fort Road, you see activity really starting to spring up. The gate is there. These two facilities, one of them is operational, one of them is about to be completed. Two should go under construction once the lease is finalized, and this body, if they approve it, should start later this year, if not first quarter next year. A lot of activity going on in Fort Road South. And so with that, I ask you to consider all 14 operations items.
Motion. Okay, second.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Mm-hmm. Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Chief People Officer Jessica.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. We're 13, many of you went to the Blue event this weekend. Thanks for coming out. Did want to do a big shout out to Chris Absher from our team that really took the lead on this, and along with the committee for making this such a great event. I know that even behind the scenes, as much as four times being rescheduled, a lot of hard work went into each and every time that being prepared. So big thank you to her and that team. We have some two big meetings that are coming up as well that I wanted to make you guys aware of. Later this morning, we're going to be holding a workshop with the Community Relations Committee to review the recommendations for the 2023 Promotion and Development Program budget. So invite people to participate in that later this morning. And then tomorrow, we have the Fort Commission Community Advisory Committee at 11:30. This is the new group that's coming in. We're really excited. We've expanded that group as well and made some changes. And so we're excited to see what they're going to be doing. A couple other key highlights. Just wanted to let you guys know where the pension plan buyout program is standing as of today. This program closes Friday. We have hit over 50% that have chosen to participate in that program, with 83 participants as of yesterday valued at $5.9 million. So we're running on track there. We're excited with the participation rate on that program. Finally, on to some of the agenda items. The 2023 benefits program recommendations are on the agenda. These have been reviewed at the meetings with Pension Benefits Committee over the past week. One of the items that we reviewed was the current self-funded medical plan performance to date. As a reminder, we transitioned to a fully insured program, from a fully insured program to a self-funded medical program in 2019. And with this, we've seen significant cost savings that we've been able to pass along to our employees. So year to date, we are running at a surplus of $1.3 million with that program. So we're seeing a great year this year with that. So currently in reviewing our budget for 2023 for the medical plan, we are expecting an increase of about 1.68% versus the industry trends that are tracking towards 6%. So again, we're seeing great success with that. We were able to support this minimal increase by recommending increasing the stop loss deductible to $200,000 from $175,000. We think that it's a good time to take advantage of that for additional premium savings. So that will be coming forth in October. And with the minimal budget increase in performance, we are recommending not to increase funding contribution by employees for the overall portion from employees in 2023. We also did not have an increase this year, so that's been really great that we've been able to keep things flat. One thing that we are changing, though, is we have historically operated at a two-tier for employee contribution levels versus the industry standard is really a four-tier. So that is, today we only have employee-only and then employee and family. Going to a four-tier, we add two more tiers, which is employee plus spouse and then employee plus child. So by going to that shift, we are recommending a phased-in approach to where the employee and family will be seeing a slight increase over the next year of about 2% or $11 a month, and then there'll be savings that are offset for the employee plus spouse and employee plus child. So that is one thing that we've reviewed with the Pension and Benefits Committee, and thank you for your support on that. We appreciate the advice and guidance on that. The only item that went out for bid was Medicare Advantage for our retirees. This is 100% port funded. Aetna is the current provider, and negotiations resulted in over 20% savings. The Cigna bid did come in lower. However, there is close to a 50% disruption for our employees, for our retirees. So we are recommending that we continue going with Aetna for the coming year. All other benefits are under multi-year rate guarantees. So those are the items for L1 and L2 that we would request approval for.
L3,
I was just going to go over separately.
Okay, is there a motion on L1 and 2? Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Go ahead on General 3.
And then L3 is a formality with our code of ethics. Any time that we rehire a former employee, we do have an employee that retired in July, and we would like to bring him back on a short-term basis. We do have Kanara and Riz was promoted to senior captain, and Captain Doug Vince retired in July as kind of a support mechanism. We are currently working with a staff member to get their 500-ton license to operate and captain that vehicle, the vessel, but in the interim, we'd like some support in the meantime to fill in. So So that is item L3.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I saw Captain Mims at the picnic, and he was at the Zoom. He was very excited about this item.
I get bored to death.
He's retired. You want to come back? It's like, what?
Thank you so much.
All right, Captain Woodring, you're up.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. As you know, in port security and emergency management with first responders, a lot of things we do are with other agencies, cooperation, force multipliers, things like that. Three of the agenda items today are MOUs that are at no cost to the Port Authority. One with the local Coast Guard to share camera feeds and allow them access. Second one with National Coast Guard to get their AIS feed, which is the tracking of the ship. And the third one is with TDEM, or the Texas Department of Emergency Management, to allow some of our members to participate on their disaster response teams. That's fully reimbursable. They get some extra training, gain some experience that they can bring back. We'd obviously manage that on a not-to-interfere basis with us. But those three MOUs are on there. And again, as Jessica said, the one item that went out for bid, we only have one as well, and that's our FSA, our Facility Security Assessment. It's required every 5 years by the U.S. Coast Guard under the CFRs. For the facility security plans, they do a threat assessment, and then we look at our plan to make sure it addresses the gaps. For CTPAT, which is the Customs Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, there is a new five-step process that's a vulnerability assessment, similar in nature, but also does some other things like maps of supply chain, some other things. And then the third one is our ISO standard. ISO 28000 was last updated in 2007. This past March, they updated it to the 2022 standard, and it adds some new components as well, and we're having that assessed. So we really have three assessments in one here. For our facility security assessment, we're taking advantage of the opportunity to have the same contractor do all three at once. So I will take questions and ask for approval of 1-4.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item passes. All right, technology. We're going to have Ron here. Ron, you're going to lead us through this today. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Ron Farrow. I'm a director in the IT division. This morning, we have five items on the agenda that we'd like to get your approval on. I'd like to highlight two of those. First, I'd like to highlight is our wireless, next-gen wireless RFP that we had. We'll be replacing all of the existing wireless technology at both container terminals as well as the buildings at Bayport, Barber's Cut, and Turning Basin. Second one I'd like to highlight is our Xerox 5-year contract renewal. We're going to be replacing all of the Xerox printers with updated technology for the next 5 years at a reduced cost than the previous 5 years. With that, I'd like to answer any questions that you might have and request approval for items N1-5.
So moved.
Very good, sir.
Any questions? Okay, great. All in favor say
aye.
Aye. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Ron. All right. We are now.
Do you want to adjourn briefly and then go into closed session? Or do you want to just go direct into closed session?
How much do we have in closed session? A couple?
We have four items.
Well, would you think we should adjourn first then?
I usually think it's a good idea.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, great. We'll take a quick break. We'll adjourn this meeting, and then we'll come back to executive session when everybody takes a break.
Mr. Chairman, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow in downtown, I think, right bulk.
Yep.
And so the
IAM, the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority, Harris County, Texas, will now convene a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultation with Audit Standard Constructors versus PHA in the 151st Judicial Court. Claims of Georgia Head Contractors, Inc., Agreement with Litigation Services Interface Consulting International, and proposed amendments to the agreement for legal services with Amy Boone, and deliberate regarding real estate, economic development negotiations and incentives, employment evaluation of public office employees, including deliberations regarding public employees and security related matters. Board Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Commissioners, we are now back in in session. It is 11:06, and we are back I'm going to bring the meeting back to order. So let's go ahead and take care of our final business. Mr. Clune, why don't you go first?
So I have a motion. I move to authorize the Port Authority to settle Standard Constructors Incorporated versus Port of Houston Authority and pay Interfaith Consulting International, Inc. for Port Authority litigation services on the terms discussed in executive session and to do all other things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Rizzo.
All right. I move to authorize the Port Authority to settle the claims of George Hedge Contractors, Inc. on the terms discussed in executive session and to authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Commissioner Fitzgerald, I think you have
something. I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend the agreement for legal services with Hayes and Boone, LLP, on the terms discussed in the executive session and to authorize the chief legal officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. All right. Our next meeting is on the October 27th, which is a Thursday. And any commissioners have any final parting comments they want to make?
No, sir.
Okay. Great. The last thing I will say is that tomorrow we have at 11:30 we have a PCCAC meeting for our new group, and it is a posted meeting, so all commissioners are invited to come. It is an in-person meeting. There will be no WebEx on that meeting, and I think we probably have lunch at that meeting, don't we? Yeah, so have lunch, so you can come get a very, very, great lunch from the port. So we have a new group coming in. It should be really cool and really fun to start that process. It'll be our first in-person meeting.
Very, very great.
Very good.
Very good.
Absolutely. Okay, great. So with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. Thank you.